It's okay to live a life that looks different than someone else's. 5 years ago, decided I wanted to do something different. So my husband and I decided we were gonna sell the house and sell everything that we had and buy a fifth wheel and travel the country and show our kids all the places.
She's doing the thing. You're doing the thing. Nobody does this.
You get so caught up with like, okay, what's life gonna look like in 10 years? Why not live right now? And okay, what's life gonna look like in 6 months? We saved our money and went over to New Zealand and lived there for 2 months. Both my husband and I are both skilled workers that we could come back and find a job. So why not try it?
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it popping.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro here, coming at you live with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today I have with me a very special guest. I actually met her last week at my Moving with the Maestro course in Chicago, and I was like, dude, this is a total Roger Bannister moment. You have a total Roger Bannister story. The people need to hear you. She is a physical therapist. She actually has been a PT for 10 years. She left her job 5 years ago, just up and quit, and decided to travel the country and join that travel PT life. Her and her family, they sold their belongings, bought a truck, bought a fifth wheel, and up and off they went. And she's doing the damn thing. I think her story is just fucking, it's just so inspirational. And you guys need to hear it. So, without further ado, welcome to the show, Dr. Stephanie Hein. Welcome, friend.
Welcome. Hi, thanks for having me on.
Dude, this is awesome. Thank you for taking the time. I know it's super late there, but that's what you said. You said you roll, so.
That's right. Night owl. Night owl.
So, let's hop right in. And why don't you tell the folks who you are?
Okay. I am from Indiana, and I've been a therapist for 10 years, like Shante said, and I, 5 years ago, decided I wanted to do something different, and so my husband and I decided we were going to sell the house and sell everything that we had and buy a fifth wheel and travel the country and show our kids, I don't know, all the places. So they've been to all kinds of national parks. They've been to like 34 states. And yeah, so it's been fun. So Taking travel contracts and yeah, it's been a good time.
I know people are wondering, what does schooling look like for them? And how old are the kids?
Griffin is my son. He's 7. And Amelia's 5. And we homeschool. So when we left, they were both in diapers. And my husband was the head honcho, did the potty train thing. And stayed home, did the laundry, cooking, cleaning. So, and I went to work. So it was,
unreal.
It was a
how
way
was it
to
living. Go ahead. Keep going.
No. It was a way to see the country, live on basically one income instead of both of us working 40 hours a week, you know, doing the whole come home from work and still have to feed the kids and do the laundry and all that kind of stuff. So I'd get home from work and all that stuff's done and we can go and do whatever we want. So that was really, really special and very simple. Like the life was simple. So
was that an easy discussion and easy change? Like, were you both on the same page with that? How does this, I feel like people don't just like up and quit their job and do this. Like, how did this happen?
Right. Oh, you have life changes and you kind of have like realize that it's, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And it's, if you don't do it now, like, will we do it? Kids get in school and they get in sports and activities and you're never going to like leave. So it's kind of that now or never kind of thing. So we basically made this decision before we ever told family or friends or anything, because we didn't want all that, you know, people's opinions weighing in on it. And so that definitely helped weigh out all those negative things.
So go ahead a little bit more with that. Did you get negative opinions from people? Were the people supportive once you did tell them? How's that been?
Yes and no. I feel like the people that were closest to you were probably the not necessarily least supportive, but strangers were easy. Like they, this is cool. That's so great that you can do that. I wish I was younger, or I wish I would have done that, or could have done something like that. Family, obviously harder time. You're taking family and your grandkids and going across the country and not going to be right next door. So that was definitely challenging. But yeah, it's interesting how people will gravitate to your story. And then the ones that are like, oh, well, I guess you'll stop once the kids get in school, you know, like, you know, already know that they don't approve of your lifestyle, which is fine. That's totally fine. So
it's on them.
I mean,
you guys listening, like I said from the jump, Roger Bannister, right? Meaning, if you haven't been listening to the podcast, Roger Bannister effect, meaning once you see something done, it becomes that much easier for you to think about, comprehend, or even try doing it. Just like Roger Bannister, he was the first person to run that sub-4-minute mile. And then after that, like, everyone else was like, oh, we could do it too. But one of the things that you're going to see when you, you know, speaking to you guys out there listening, one of the things that you're going to see when you guys, when you decide to do something different, is you're going to meet resistance, and particularly from those people that are closest to you, and they're going to project all their shit on you and all their fears and concerns, and they're going to be like, oh, it's because I love you, and, like, you know, they do. It comes from a good place, but it's them being like, I could not do that, and then it's kind of like, well, that's why you're not doing this. I'm doing it, and that's really, you know, brave of you guys for to do it and just, like, be like, we're both families like that?
No, yes and no. They just didn't necessarily understand. And it was kind of thrown on them because we didn't really let them know until basically we were putting the house up for sale and selling all our stuff and looking at RVs. And so, yeah, it was definitely different. I think once we got a year or so into it, it was much more, you know, oh, you're in California, or you're in Oregon, or you're someplace cool that they can come visit. And so I think they saw the positive sides of things too. So that,
that's going to actually be my next question. How about with, like, holidays and going to see family? How does that work? Do people come and just, like, stay near you in a hotel? Like, what happens?
Yeah, we don't really have space for people to, like, come stay with us. So yes, hotel, occasionally we would have somebody stay with us, and, like, my son and my husband would go camp, like, in a tent kind of thing, or what we call our vacation home kind of thing. And so then my mom could stay or whatnot. But most of the time, yes, they would stay in a hotel. So.
And what do you guys do for, like, do you celebrate holidays? Do you guys go as, like, oh, we're going to go home or back somewhere?
Well, being from Indiana, it's cold here. So we don't, traveling back in the winter can be challenging. And living in an RV, you just don't do that in the winter. We follow good weather. That's kind of the point of this. So, we did spend a Christmas. My in-laws came out and, rented a house, on the beach, and my brother's family came up. And so we did get to do Christmas that way. But for the most part, no, we kind of, do it from a distance.
You make it work. Mm-hmm. Like, things come up and you just go with the flow and what's presented in front of you. This is fascinating to me. I'm just sitting here just like, yes, you are doing it. I read about stuff like this in the 4-Hour Work Week. So that was, like, as cliche as it is, it sounds like that book was really instrumental in me changing everything. I think I just read it at the right time and was like, yeah, I don't want to wait till I'm 60 to try and do this. And this can be done differently. But I was also, you know, like, I don't have kids or anything. So now to meet someone that's like, yeah, I did it with a full family. And you have two dogs?
We have two. Like, we have two labs.
Like, you have a full ass family. And you're like, yeah, we are going to make this work. Does this allow for more vacation?
Yes, it does. We were able to spend the winter or 2 months in New Zealand this past winter because you're not tied down to a, you know, full-time job, 40-hour a week, get, you know, 4 weeks vacation. So we saved our money and went over to New Zealand and lived there for 2 months. I have family over there and got to travel with the kids over there. So totally different experience. So, and you've been there, so yeah, you know what it's like over there. It's beautiful.
Unreal. You guys listening, if you don't travel anywhere else in the world, go to New Zealand. Yes. If you're listening to this and you're from New Zealand, amen. Bless you. Like
right.
That place is unreal. Like, I've been around the whole country and I mean, you have too. It's like the United States is really freaking cool. There's a lot of cool stuff. Like when people are talking about traveling, I'm like, just like go on a road trip. There's a lot of cool shit here. But New Zealand, it's just colors and scenery and like topography and geography that I've never seen. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like absolutely amazing. Did you fifth wheel it there too? Or you like stayed in like an Airbnb?
We did a little bit of that, but we also, my cousin has a place there kind of off grid. So we stayed off grid with her for a little bit. And then we took a trip to the South Island. She lives on the North Island. Yeah. Okay. So we flew down there and we actually rented just a small, like tiny, like truly tiny living, and traveled in that for 2 weeks. And that's about as max as you want to be with four people in a small little, basically van, camper van. So, but
Steph, how is tiny living? Like you're doing this all the time. Like we see it on TV and I'm like, how is it?
Yeah. So we have like 400 square feet and you learn
like
to be.
New York City.
Yeah, exactly. It's a New York sized apartment. You know, we have a washer and dryer in it and it has a bath and a half. So it's not. And then we follow good weather.
Thing?
Yeah. So it has four slide outs and stuff. So it makes it much, much bigger. But, still small, still everything is small. So you have to figure out ways to organize, which my OCD tendencies help with that. So it works out well. It works out really well. And we follow good weather. So we're not inside, like we're outside all the time. So we sleep in there and occasionally eat in there. So it's much, much easier to live like that.
Everything's outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have like two kids, like, they're not going to be enjoy. Like, I don't know. I have neighbors and these kids just like run around all the time. Imagining like if you couldn't have them in a small place. So they're just outside being kids.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. It makes it very, very helpful to have nice weather year round when you're from Indiana and you don't have that.
Chasing the weather. Yep. You're going to tell me like that is what it's all about. Where's your favorite place been?
Oh, everybody asks us that. And it's so like really anywhere west of New Zealand, for sure out of the country, but in the country, like, man, California is beautiful. And California back here gets kind of a bad rap. Like they just think it's this big LA or San Francisco and just there's so many people. And I'm like, oh, go to Northern California or the Eastern Sierras. Like that's definitely.
It's a humongous state.
It is. It's huge.
It's a gigantic state.
Yes. There's so much to offer, but it's beautiful out there. So I understand why you live where you live.
Yeah, man, this is the dream. What kind of learning curve was it for this? How was it initially?
There's a really steep learning curve to like figuring out how, you know, finding the recruiter that fits with you and finding where you want to go. Logistically, you know, it's not just me by myself traveling. I have, the whole family to think about. Like, I can't just stick him out in the middle of nowhere, which I have done sometimes. And then I take the vehicle and leave him stranded with two kids. But so I try to find places that have like parks and libraries and things like that for them to do. So applying for a job is a little bit more challenging. You got to do a lot of reconnaissance there. But nowadays they have so much more. There's a lot of resources out there for travelers. I think it's maybe gaining some traction to some degree. More people are wanting to do
for
it.
Sure.
And even right out of school, which is fantastic. So
I was gonna say, what's your opinion on doing it right out of school?
I've kind of gone, it really is going to be, it depends. I know you say that all the time, but like, it really does depend on the type of clinician that you are, or in confidence level, you know, because you can get stuck in some sticky situations, whereas sometimes having a little bit more experience, you're like, you can say no. So, and that, you don't always know that. And sometimes you don't have, you're the only PT there, and you don't have that mentor role in the clinic with you. So that can be challenging. I already knew kind of, I'd done the whole PT thing with PTAs and working with all that. So it was, I don't know, it wasn't challenging in that regard, but for a new grad, it definitely could be. So definitely getting with somebody that's, be very picky about the types of contracts you might submit for. So, but there's tons of resources out there now. There's a lot of Facebook groups and some of that kind of stuff that can, you can just glean so much information from them that you can have kind of a head, like almost a leg up before you even start out there, you guys, which is helpful.
You guys listening, I am working on a travel PT episode. It's just a matter of getting the people together. So I have already done a few. It's those episodes that I do that are like amalgamations of a few different people, they just take a lot longer. So I've interviewed two couples already, one couple, two individuals, and I'm working on like the famous, like the Wanderlust couple. It's just a matter of setting up our schedules to match together. But you guys listening, Steph will be a resource, a very good resource. But I'm going to be putting out a podcast, entire episode about travel PT, because that's so far outside of my wheelhouse. Like, they basically like totally discouraged it. They were like, you're going to hate your life and not learn anything and be miserable and be stuck in podunk if you do travel PT. Like, that's it. And I was like,
yes. And it's not like that. I mean, sure, you can potentially get in those situations. And I've heard the horror stories. I haven't had any, nothing specific like that. You know, some challenges like anything else. But usually, I'm like, I can do anything for 13 weeks. Like, it's 13 weeks. So why not? You know, say yes and go do it, especially if it's a cool place that you want to see. Like, it's just do it. Just do it.
Goodness. So, you've been doing this for 5 years, Steph.
So
is this, what's the shelf life on this? You're going to keep moving forward with this?
So like a lot of people will tell you, like, you'll do it for like 3 years. That's kind of that. I remember in PT school, they used to tell you like, you'll do this, you'll burn out in 7 years. And I'm like, wow, I've just spent a lot of money to do this for 7 years. But travel PT, same thing. And I've had some different situations. I've traveled in between some of that. I've gone to Costa Rica and done some different things to kind of break it up, like the true travel going from contract to contract to contract. So I have had some variety in that regard. So I think that's allowed me to maybe last a little longer than some. But we are starting to transition. We're kind of in a transition phase, which it's kind of scary because it's something completely new and out of my wheelhouse to some degree as far as the business side of things. But finding something that allows me to still have that feeling of freedom like travel has, but still be kind of rooted at home has been a challenge. So yeah, there's things in the works.
In the works. So I want to tease that out a little bit because, you know, just reading your bio from before and from our conversations, that the chances that you've taken so far and the steps that you've taken, the leaps that you've taken, have really helped shape who you are today and made it easier to take additional leaps. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. So like, the whole travel part wasn't really it wasn't like this big dream or pipe dream or anything like that to go be a travel PT. I definitely have kind of a wanderlust gene where, I don't know, to get out there and see what's out there. And then being able to take my family along with it was just a bonus. But when you're out there, you get such a variety of clients, depending on where you're at geographically, be it affluent or more out in kind of the middle of nowhere, rural areas, as well as just different treatment styles from the different coworkers that you have. It kind of opens your eyes to what's out there versus I had worked the same job for 5 years before we started traveling. So I knew how those therapists treated and knew how they worked. So getting outside of the box was, you're like, oh, there's different ways to treat than what I'm used to. And I think that made me realize, oh, when I have more time with patients, I have more time to educate them. And that you know, just like for us as clinicians, like I feel empowered when I'm educated. I can't imagine how much more empowered my patients might feel if I have the time to educate them as well. So it's definitely made me more confident as a clinician and a person as in general, but it makes it easier to say yes to different opportunities that might present themselves. So that's where we're at now.
It's so good. Like, I think that people, clearly they need to hear that, and they oftentimes don't realize that. I think that, you know, myself included, we tend to, oftentimes we're planners, and maybe we plan like 100 steps ahead, and then you just plan yourself out of doing the thing at all, because you're just like, okay, but this could happen, and this, and this, and this. So it's amazing to hear someone's story where it's like, yeah, I took the leap, I did a thing, and then I was in a new position, and I had some skills that I acquired from that first leap that allowed me to do the next thing, that allowed me to do the next thing, and suddenly, you know, fast forward, it's 5 years later, and I know a lot more of what I want. I definitely know what I don't want, and this is going to allow me to continue to move forward and create this thing, you know, that I really, really want, which is just amazing. Like, everything you're doing, Steph, is phenomenal to me. I'm just like, she's doing the thing. You're doing the thing. Nobody does this.
Yes. Yes.
Nobody does this.
But it's definitely, you kind of lose that security of like being in your whatever job that looks like. And you kind of get outside of that and you realize, okay, I need to kind of stand on my own 2 feet and figure out what I want or what type of clinician I want to be. And so I did. I started seeking out different, you know, CEUs. You had that episode about MedBridge. I'm like, yes, I've been using MedBridge for 5 years. Like, I love them. And then, you know, following different people, not just PTs, you know, following some chiropractors and naturopathic medicine trainers, personal trainers, all that kind of stuff. You really, what do I say? Like, you can pull lots of little things from them and kind of tweak it and make it your own. Similar to like your course, you've taken from all of this stuff and put it together, digestible for, you know, us as clinicians. And then we can then further take that on and help our patients with that. So
this is awesome to hear. Speaking of patients, Steph, I'm going to interrupt you. Speaking of patients, how is that? So in general, you have 13 weeks, which is honestly, like, that's a, you know, longer than a lot of PT stints that a patient may be there, but then you also move. Like, I know for me, like, you leave, you're in that same spot, so the patient, maybe you discharge them, but then they come back for something else, and like, you just gain these relationships with these people and the other clinicians, and just in general, how is that? Because it seems like you probably don't have that.
No, you lose a little bit of that. Like, depending on the setting that you're in, I work primarily outpatient contract jobs. So I did, like, I would give them my, like, email so that they could contact me if they had questions or whatever, or stay in touch. And, you know, a few of them might follow. I had written a blog while I was on the road too. So some of them followed along on that via Facebook or via the website too. But so you still had some connection, and that's, you know, I still am in communication with people that you've met. And when you're someplace for 13 weeks, that's 3 months. Like, that's not a week vacation where you basically go where the tourists go. Like, you're in the community to some degree, be it, you know, whatever it is that you might, restaurants or, you know, coworkers, friends, all that kind of stuff. People you meet at the park, like, our kids are, you know, little magnets for people and play dates and stuff. So, I mean, you definitely have like your own little like family on the road. So it's nice.
Is amazing. That's actually what I was wondering. And I think that some people may wonder about, like, are you able to create, are you isolated being on the road? I feel like people, and obviously I think it depends on the person. You are super outgoing. Like, you're very easy to talk to. Like, in the course, like, you guys listening, this chick and her eye contact, and just like, she was like, sitting in the back, but like, so smiley, just so, just her hair is great and like big personality. And so I feel like that personality type may make it a little bit easier to make friends. But I also think some people out there may be like, you know, being on the road may be isolating, and maybe you only make friends with your partner, the person you're with. Like,
Right. I think if, you know, we live in an RV, so we stay in RV parks. So there's always people there, and they're almost always outside. And it, like, I did a travel job in Florida, and, you know, no offense, most of them are in more of the retirement population. So my kids had all these like little honorary grandparents, you know, they're riding their bikes around and the older people. And so we've, you know, my kids are outgoing too. So that all, that helps too. Like it's like your own little community that, yeah,
you can make it what you want. That's fascinating. Yeah. 34 states, you said?
Yeah, I think that's – they have pillows that they color in a state every time we go to a new state. My son is so – he's like, Mom, we really need to go to North Dakota. We haven't – that's the only state west of, like, Indiana that we haven't been to in the lower 48, mind you. And I'm like, buddy, you're seven. Like, you'll have time. Like, it's okay. We can wait.
Do they realize that what you guys are doing is different?
I don't think so. You know, my daughter wasn't even a year old when we left, and Griffin was like nearly three. So they don't know any different. But we're in the process of transitioning. So we're talking about building the house and this kind of stuff. And I think they're excited. For one, they'll have their own bedrooms, which they don't have right now. So the older you get, the more you want your space.
Sure.
So yeah, but they're close. I mean, it's interesting. And the fact that we homeschool too, they don't leave and go to separate classrooms for, you know, whatever, 7 or 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. So they're, I mean, that can be a negative and a positive. Uh-huh. There are siblings, but they play well together. They almost don't know, not codependent, but a little bit. They always want to know where the other one's at a little bit. So there's definitely that, but it's been fun.
This is so good. I got to ask, Steph, how is their movement? Because they're not stuck in chairs all day.
They're not. No. So my kids are completely opposite spectrums of everything. My daughter is like, her nervous system just loves that. Like, she's a sensory seeker. Like, she'll be the one that, you know, jumps off buildings and out of planes and stuff. And and she's my barefoot girl. So like in New Zealand, nobody wears shoes there. Like, they go into the grocery store and they don't have shoes on. We fully embrace that. Like, we stopped even packing them with us. We'd leave for the day and we're like, it's okay. You don't need your shoes. It'll be fine.
That's amazing.
I know. It's unfortunate that back here it's not, it's kind of frowned upon. I know. Yeah. I know. It's stick them in these hard sole shoes. I'm like, no, you need to feel the ground. Wow. But, and then my son is this, a little bit more of an anxious, like, sensory avoider. He's like, why would you jump off a building? Like, do you know what could happen? Yeah. Like, he has the cause and effect down very, very well. So much more cautious, which is not a bad thing. So
I love it. But why would you jump off that building?
Yeah. The kind of think before you do sort of thing.
I want to circle back. I love this. It paints the picture of a real family. Like, people listening are like, oh, yeah, sure. And then they're like, holy shit. Like, yeah, she's doing this thing with like two kids and husband and two dogs, and they're making it work. And yeah, you're doing it. What were your settings like? Was it always the same kind of setting? Just like for the PTs out there listening that are kind of like, PT.
Yeah. So I've worked in Texas, and those were, there was skilled nursing facilities there. And then I did an outpatient there as well. And then we went to California and I did another skilled nursing facility. And then I stumbled upon a contract in the VA system up in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And that is quite a humbling experience, especially in this day and age. It can be very, it's a tough crowd to work with, but so worthwhile. Like, so it's phenomenal. And then I went to Florida and did an outpatient job. And then again, California, an outpatient job. So I've not done the acute thing. That's just not my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. But those jobs are definitely out there for sure. So there's so many resources to find out, like, you know, I basically just said, here's where I want to go. Like, here's the state I want to go. Send me all the outpatient jobs. And then I just kind of shuffle through and figure out where I want to be. So, yeah, there's lots of options. Lots of options.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yep. I will make that episode, guys, but I want you to hear, you know, firsthand from Steph about that. Can you talk a little bit, Steph, about just kind of like the mindset and just where were you at emotionally, mentally, spiritually, whatever, leading up to this changed. People often ask me, like, you know, why did you leave your job? How did you leave your job? Why did you leave? Where were you? What were you thinking? What were you feeling? Did you hate your job? You liked it?
No, like I liked the job. I mean, I love the company I work for. What do I want to say? It was very fast. It's a fast paced job. It's outpatient. Mm-hmm. Great guys. They're so good about continuing education and, you know, they push you to go and kind of seek out, your COMT, the Maitland certification. And they'll bring those in house and they bring, you know, courses into the clinic as well. Like twice a year, they're bringing stuff in. So I was very happy in that, but I almost felt like kind of complacent. You know, if you're in some place for quite some time, you get that complacency. And so it's not that I was unhappy. It's just that it's like, why not? Like, why not do this? Why not try this? And I think some of it too, you, as PTs, I mean, there's jobs out there. You're always going to be able to find a job. It may not be the job that you want or the, you know, your perfect job, but there will always be an income if you need from a financial situation. So I think that really pushed me that we almost had this little bit of a security blanket. Like both my husband and I are both skilled workers that we could come back and find a job. So why not try it? So even if it is 2 years or, you know, whatever, why not?
This is amazing.
Definitely have no regrets by any means.
So. You guys, she just gave you like a really huge lesson and piece of permission there. It's okay to leave something that's good. I think that the story we typically hear is like, my story, you're like, oh, it fucking sucked. Like, why am I staying here? I got 1,000 patients a day and like, you know. But there's another side of things where maybe people are happy. And actually, I just had a call the other day, one of my coaching calls, where the person just wasn't super unhappy with anything, but you have that kind of complacency, that like, what if, that like, I want something else. And you guys listening, it's okay to go for that. And if you don't succeed, that's okay too, because you can always go back to whatever job it was, or you always be able to find another job, you know, doing something within our field. Did you have a safety net of any sort when you left stuff? Like, were you like, we're going to think about it for a year, save up?
So we actually were very fortunate that we were in a decent financial situation, that us selling our house and selling all our stuff allowed us to then pay off all my student loans and buy a truck in fifth wheel. So we didn't have debt, which that is huge, because you're not like, okay, I can take 6 weeks off between a job and go travel here or whatever it might be. So yeah, we definitely had a safety net that not everybody, because it is expensive if you're trying to pay for a house back home and, you know, you're on the road.
On the road too, yeah.
Yes. So it's definitely a challenge, but we did have a little bit of that safety net and very supportive families as far as if we were to need to come back. So again, you had that cushion. So it does make it easier to say yes. But it, just in life,
it's okay. It's an interesting safety net though. You're like, yeah, we sold our house. And I'm like, oh, well, shit. Like people wouldn't think about that. Even if they, you know even if they have a house, like they're like, oh, I'm gonna sell it. Like that's these things that you've done, stuff like this is incredible. Have you had anyone like reach out to you, because you said you had a blog. Is it still going with the blog?
Yeah, I still have it. I'm not as active on that as I was on like the Facebook group one, because I could share pictures. Like I would basically, the blog was like my diary on the road. It was like my therapy on the road, to be able to write.
That's
like
what I'm feeling for me
this time. Right, exactly. Exactly. It's that in website form.
It's so the same thing. If people want to find this stuff, how can they do that? Where can they go? I'll link it in the show notes, but what is it?
It's satisfyingourwonderlust.com.
Love it.
Look at this. Is the name of the blog. So
it's amazing stuff.
Yes.
Satisfyingourwonderlust.com. Mm-hmm. And they can like see the blog and everything.
Yeah,
and,
or find it on Facebook too. It's that same name on Facebook. Same name. So, and that's got more of the updated like pictures of where we've been and what we're doing, but it is nice to know that there are other people out there doing the same thing to some degree. Like you surround yourself in these groups, be it online or not, that there's other people out there living the same way. Like, okay, I'm not too strange, even though like society tells me this is not the American dream, but
it is. Independence, you have autonomy. That is the, at the end of the day, people don't realize that that is the American dream, is people want that freedom, that autonomy, and you have that. And what that, you know, how that manifests is going to be different for everyone, which is, I think, what people don't realize. You know, for some, it is like, I look at my brother and he loves going to festivals. Like, he loves them. And it's like, you know, I'd rather spend my money on these things and buying electronics and gadgets to record stuff. And he's like, dude, I'm going to go to this festival for 4 days. And I'm like, I love it. That's what our dreams are. Different. I'm like,
cool. And it has. Like, my husband was able to hike all summer on the Pacific Crest Trail. Like, I was able to take off time, and he hiked, like, I don't know, 650 miles or so on the Pacific Crest Trail. So, like, we've done a lot of other things because of this lifestyle. The kids and I just kind of followed along Oregon and in Northern California, and would meet him and resupply his pack and, you know, do all that stuff. So that was the summer of Tim, we call it. So my husband's name is Tim, and we called it the summer of Tim because he does, like, he's the one that got, I don't want to say got stuck at home, but like, he's the one that, you know, did all the house stuff. And I was working and able to leave every day. And so this was my way of like, I'll chill with the kids, you know, keep them alive. And then you go and do this and we'll keep you alive. So
that's incredible.
Opportunities are
like, oh my God, my mind is just blown. First of all, he walked 650 miles.
In the year that they call it, like, the PCT world called, like, the year of fire and ice. Like, they had horrible snow out there. And then, I mean, he walked in snow in every month from the previous year. So, it was, and then fires, you get all the forest fires out there that,
That's crazy.
Yes,
that's some crazy shit. Things just catch on fire, and I'm like, what?
That's crazy. I know.
But Steph, how much research did you have to do, like, in terms of preparation for this? So you said you have a bit of a safety net, but, you know, you sold the house, but, like, you didn't just do that stuff on a whim. Like, you were, like, calculating things, and how what did that look like leading up to making this decision, this transition?
So I had two friends and coworkers that were already doing some travel, PT and PTA. One was a husband and wife. His wife was a PTA and he was a PT, and they had started traveling. And then a good friend was a PTA. And so I talked with them, like, okay, what recruiters, what do I need to know? Like, because tax home, and there's some intricacies that hopefully maybe we'll get touched on a little bit more in your travel PT podcast. But figuring that out. The other thing was figuring out how, like, the living situation. We didn't want to pull our kids and, like, okay, now we're living in this apartment and then this apartment. Like, at least this way their room never changed. Like, the their, you know, the scenery did, but, like, their room didn't. So, or their home didn't. So that was a lot of it. And I have Tim's able to pull a fifth wheel, so that it wasn't foreign to him to do those types of things, and he's mechanically inclined, so thankfully if we have a flat or if we have something go wrong, like, he can kind of fix it. So there's that is huge, because those RVs are not made real great, so you definitely need need somebody to know how to fix things as needed. So that was helpful.
And then you figure it out as you go.
Yes. And you just kind of go along. You don't plan. Yeah. There's no real, we would plan about 3 months in advance, or maybe even because your contracts are 3 months.
Yeah, so six-week mark.
Yeah. So I think that made it, we didn't really know what was next. We're not trying to, like you said, the future, you get so caught up with, like, okay, what's life going to look like in 10 years? Why not live right now? And okay, what's life going to look like in 6 months maybe? Or
so good. That's so freaking good. That's so good. What's life going to look like in 6 months? I love it. Let's do it for right now. Have you heard from any people that you've, like, inspired, or perhaps through your blog, or just, like, they're like, hey, I'm trying this now because I saw you do it.
Yes. I actually, I graduated with her. I went to grad school with her. She and her husband moved out to Oregon and lived out there, bought a house, you know, all that stuff out there. Uh-huh. And they have two kids, a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, and they are getting ready to hit the road, I think maybe wow. in this fall. And they're doing the same thing. They're going to do the RV thing. So, yes, it's really cool. And she said a lot of it was following along and seeing that, okay, yeah. you can do this. Like it's,
Roger Bannister.
Yes, yes, exactly. It's doable.
So good. This is amazing. You guys out there listening, like I really wanted to bring Steph on because her story is amazing and it's different than anyone else that I brought on. I bring people on. I try to bring people on that will inspire you in some way, shape, or form or just show you like, hey, I did this. It's possible. If you want to do it, cool. And mm-hmm. I realized I'm like, I haven't had someone on. As soon as I started talking to Steph, I was like, I have not had this story on and I have not heard this story firsthand. This needs to be shared because it's freaking awesome. And there's people out there that I'm sure like want to do the thing or are wondering how else they can do the thing and are in a situation that's way more similar to yours than mine. Because people mm-hmm. say that, like, oh, yeah, of course, Maestro. Like, you live alone and you don't have any kids. It's easier. I don't have any pets. You're just fucking the two plants. Like, there's nothing really in the way. Yeah. Like, listen, she got two kids and two dogs mm-hmm. and a husband.
You will always find an excuse. You really will. You'll always find an excuse. And it's, I don't know, put them aside and like figure out what it might look like and then figure out how to do it.
So simple. Steph, it's so freaking yes. good. If these people want to, well, one, they can follow you on the blog. I want to put that in mm-hmm. the show notes. But if they want to reach mm-hmm. out to you and pick your brain more specifically, how can they do that?
Yes, they can. The easiest way. I mean, Instagram obviously is fine. You can DM me through there or follow along on adventures. It's s.hine.pt.
s.hine.pt. I will mm-hmm. link that for you guys in mm-hmm. the show notes. Mm-hmm. Steph, second question. Mm-hmm. Last question. Is there anything that you'd like to leave the people with?
Yes. It's okay to live a life that looks different than someone else's. It's not meant to be lived in a box, be it the box you put yourself in or you think society has put you in. Like, break free and just be who you want to be, not who what you think the world wants you to be is my big, big underlying theme.
Wow. Your kids are lucky to have you, man. That's quite a powerful message that you are leading by example or showing by example. Like that is, thank you, Steph. This is, mm-hmm.
yeah.
this has been absolutely incredible. Like super, just invaluable for the people listening and just, I'm over here amped up. Like I'm like, all right, and where am I going? And I'm going to make the most of my life starting right now because tomorrow is not guaranteed.
That's
it's
right.
So good, Steph. It's so right. good. Amazing. You guys listening, if you want to learn more, you want to hear more again, once again, that is Steph, s.hine.pt on Instagram, or you can check her out at her website and blog, satisfyingourwanderlust.com, the accompanying Facebook. This is just mm-hmm. awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. Awesome, awesome stuff. Steph, thank you. It's late there.
My pleasure.
Thank you for doing
this. My pleasure.
This. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. This is awesome. Yes. I appreciate you. You guys listening, thank you. I know you could have been doing anything, but you chose to listen to us. And we're both super grateful for that. I know you could have been doing anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to ask you for anything in particular today. Not going to ask you for any likes or any shares or anything like that. If you liked this episode, what I want you to do is go and write down what you want. Go write down, just spitball it off the cuff. Write down what you want. Don't worry about the what ifs, what could go wrong. Imagine that nothing could go wrong. What is it that you want? What is it that you want your future to look like? All right, friends, officially wrapping it up and signing out. Until next time, friends, Maestro and Steph.